Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Commons, where we have conversations about school life and leadership. I'm your host, Brian Phillips, and I'm joined today by a very special guest, my daughter, Temperance. Temperance, you say hello.
Hi.
I'm delighted to have you with us. Thanks for coming into the office today to record a podcast with Dad. So Temperance is our oldest child, the oldest of our four. And how old are you now?
26,
11. Okay. Very
I'm
good.
I'm not that old.
Not that old. Well, Temperance is here to talk about books, one of her great loves. And on this podcast, because we try to address really all aspects of school life, from leadership issues all the way down to things that happen in the classroom or in the homeschool, I want to make sure that we don't lose sight of the students and children that are involved in the work that we do. And I know for most of us, that's not a problem, but that's one reason why I like to have the voice and input of students or kids as much as we possibly can. So on this episode, I want to get Temperance's input on books. This is something that classical educators talk about an awful lot. We love talking about books. We love shopping for books. We love arguing over books. We love discussing books. And we love planning out which books we're going to read next or read with our children or have our children read. So I want to get Temperance involved in this discussion. Temperance, we call her T. That's her nickname around the Phillips house. So Temperance, you have always enjoyed reading from a very, very young age. In fact, there have been many times that we've had to pry her away from reading to do the things that we actually needed her to do, which was always a bit conflicting for me. So let's talk about some of your favorite books. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to turn the tables here. I don't know if any of you other parents out here have children that do this, but Temperance has always been the one, in addition to reading all the time, she's always been the one who will ask me, Dad, what are your three favorite blank? You name it. Or what's your four favorite? Or if you had to pick two, which would be your favorite? Or between these two book series, which one is your favorite? So the tables have turned. Now it's my turn to ask you. All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Let's start. What are your three favorite book series? I know you always love getting into book series, so let's make you pick three.
Well, The Lord of the Rings, The Chronicles of Narnia, 100 Cupboards, and I think 100 Cupboards and The Land of Stories are tied.
They're tied? For,
yes.
Oh, for your third?
Yes.
You know what you forgot?
What?
What about a wizard named Harry?
Harry Potter.
You forgot about Harry Potter?
I think, honestly, to just enjoy, those are probably my three favorites.
Those are your three favorites?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other series? Do you have any honorable mentions not in your top ones?
Well, let's see. I have really enjoyed reading The 39 Clues.
Okay.
And let me see.
Did you write any more down?
I would
have to write them down, or I would forget.
Let's see. I love Oh, yeah, The Spiderwick Chronicles and Percy Jackson. I remember I loved reading Percy Jackson. The movies definitely ruined them.
You think so?
Yes.
The movies can do that. That's another thing classical educators really like fussing about is how movies always ruin the books.
I know.
Right?
Percy Jackson really broke the record for ruining it.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when I go to conferences, maybe I should try this. When I meet someone new, I'll just introduce myself. Hi, I'm Brian Phillips. The book is better than the movie. Right. Just so we understand, always on common ground, right? Okay, so I tell you what, pick one of those series that you mentioned, one of your favorites, and tell me what you like about it. Why do you enjoy reading them?
Well, probably Lord of the Rings. I've really gotten into that series. I love reading about how J.R. Tolkien got the ideas for it, because like the Ents he got for dancing with his wife around the trees. And then I love the characters, and for me, Lord of the Rings, I love that series. There's just something about it. You can't quite put your finger on it. There's just something about it you really love about it.
It's a pretty magical series, isn't it? It's very interesting.
One thing that I love about it is that pretty much the whole world he made up himself.
Right, right. That's I agree with you. I think the background of it, it's both the stories and the story behind it.
Yeah.
You know, what motivated him to write all of it. And there's so much detail. In fact, there have been times that I know some people really love this about Tolkien's writing. Is that he includes so much detail about the geography, about the placement. I mean, the maps are in such detail, the background of all the characters. There's so much into it, and even the languages.
Yeah.
Right?
And one thing that I loved about it is that Elvish, that was pretty much his life work, making his own language. In fact, he did a speech in Elvish, and so...
That's right. I didn't know that till you told me about that. I didn't know about the Ents being inspired by him dancing with his wife among the trees either. Wow. I learned something new from this girl every day. Every day. Now, one thing that we have talked about, you have asked me approximately 2.4 million times, if I had to choose between Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, which ones would be my favorite? And I always have this kind of cop-out answer, really, which I guess is why you keep asking me. But my answer is always something to the effect of, it's hard for me to choose because the series are so different.
But so the same every time.
Yeah, right. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed over the last, it's been, how long were we reading? We read The Hobbit together. I was able to read that to all of the kids, The Hobbit and all three in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But one of the things you kept noticing, because you had read all the Harry Potter books as well, were all the similarities.
Yeah.
What were some of the similarities you noticed?
I think probably the first one that I caught was Gandalf and Dumbledore.
Right. The gray old wizard who's mysteriously disappearing and showing up at all the right and wrong times. Yeah. What else?
Well, there was the Black Riders and the Dementors. I love how J.K. Rowling loved Lord of the Rings so much. Was able to put all that in it, but I wouldn't have used all that much. And then another one that I really caught is that Frodo and Harry, that was really similar. Like, Harry's going on to find the Horcruxes, and that was one thing, the rings and the Horcruxes.
Right.
And the only thing was that the ring, there was one ring. The Horcruxes, weren't there six?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Well, he divided his soul, basically.
Yeah.
Lord Voldemort did, into six or seven parts, right? It was six or seven. I don't remember.
And there are things that were in his life that, like the necklace, the Diadem of Ravenclaw.
Mm-hmm.
things that had mattered to him that now seemed like nothing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was touching. And the ring was just all evil.
Right.
It was all him that was now.
Right, right. So once the ring was destroyed, Sauron was destroyed. Whereas with Voldemort, there were pieces.
Yep.
Right, that were...
pieces of the different characters of Voldemort.
Right, right. That was a very interesting observation, too. But when you mentioned the similarities between Harry and Frodo, there's also that progression. At the beginning of the Harry Potter series, Harry is... his life is certainly not easy by any means. It's actually quite awful.
Frodo had a wonderful life.
Yeah, Frodo had a wonderful life. But there is that feeling, though, in both series of moving from more lighthearted to more intense and darker and, you know, scarier or more serious, I guess you could say. They get more intense as it goes
in
on.
In the Deathly Hallows, like, there's so much more death, and you can tell it's very, very dark. Mm-hmm. In the third one, but at the same time in the third one, it's getting... In the Return of the King, it's getting lighter at the same time because they're getting closer and closer, while in Harry Potter, it seems like they're getting farther and farther from it.
Right. So there are a lot of similarities between the two, but there are differences also. So... I noticed in your top three, you listed Lord of the Rings, and you picked that one to talk a little bit more about. What do you think are the differences, though, between Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter? I mean, we've already talked about some of them,
but
can you think of any others that stand out to you? You've always done a really good job comparing these two series. That's why I ask.
Well, in Harry Potter, it's more... jolly, sort of.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah. Well, it at our house, we watched the first movie, even as a Christmas movie.
Because
it is pretty lighthearted and pretty jolly.
That's
Whereas Lord of the Rings has a...
It's more what it would be like if you were surrounded by evil.
Right, right. Because Harry doesn't really understand anything about that world at first.
And it's through his eyes, so.
Yeah. Something that we were talking about before we started the podcast just earlier this morning was also that difference between magic folk and non-magic folk.
Mm-hmm.
In Harry Potter, there's that really clear dividing line of muggles and magic folk.
And you never really notice it because you're looking through it in a wizard's eyes, so you never really think anything of the muggles. Well, probably because he lives with three really awful ones.
Oh, I know. They're the worst. The worst of the muggles. In fact, you kind of compare them and wonder sometimes, you know, which is worse, Dudley or Draco.
Yeah.
Right? They're both pretty awful. But there is a real clear distinction. Yeah. I remember reading something about that once where... someone said that the main fault they had with the Harry Potter series is that there was this wall between magic and non-magic, between muggle and wizard, and that doesn't seem to really reflect the way life is. But then again, I mean, it is more of a fantasy series. It's about a magical world. So, but I do think that's interesting that there's that pretty strict distinction between the magical world and then the normal world or muggle world in Harry Potter. But in Lord of the Rings, it's all kind of blended together in a sense, except for, and this is the interesting part that we were discussing earlier, except for the Shire.
Yeah.
Right? The Shire seems kind of separated from all of that.
But then the ruffians come and you realize it's still been touched.
Yeah, it's still been affected at the very end. But I wonder if that was sort of part of what Tolkien was hinting at, is that even the Shire has to be pulled into that world because they're a part of it too, right?
But the hobbits were so peaceful, and I remember Frodo...
Or just lazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Content.
Yeah. I remember in the books, Pippin, Merry, Frodo, and Sam were all so surprised that there weren't, like, how many breakfasts didn't they have?
Right. I don't think they know about second breakfast. Yeah.
I highly doubt it, Pippin.
Every homeschool student I know of is basically a hobbit, right? Just eating all day long.
I bet that's where J.R.R. Tolkien based them on kids.
Maybe so. Well, they had four children too, right? Yeah, so I'm sure their four were quite a bit like our four, including you, right?
I do like to eat. No.
So tell me, are there any books, either individual books or series that you're excited to read or that you want to read coming up?
I do want to try to read The Shakespeare Stealer. I've heard that that one's a really good one. Mm-hmm. And then I'm reading The Outlaws of Time. That one's really good.
Oh, by Indy Wilson?
Yeah. Yep. It's really fun looking in what you would do if you time traveled. It's really cool.
Yeah. He's had some really good series. Yeah.
And then The Green Ember.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
By S.D. Smith.
Yep.
We read The Black Star of Kingston.
Yep.
Right? And we read the first Green Ember, but we haven't finished the series.
I know. The Green Ember Falls. Yeah. I can't wait to read that one.
Yeah. Well, Sam Smith, just in case you happen to hear this podcast, we do own them all, so we will get to it, we promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially The Ember Falls.
Yeah. Any others?
I think that's about it right now. I mean, like, I'm sure there's more.
Right. Yeah, there are always tons of books, right?
Yeah.
The list of books to read is never ending, even for kids. I know that's true for adults, too. But. So one other question. Do you have, and this is related to how we're going to kind of tie this all up here in just a second, but do you have a favorite? I know the answer to this, but tell our readers. Do you have a favorite? Our readers, our listeners, sorry, we're hung up on books, aren't we? Do you have a favorite place or time that you like to go read?
The woods in the afternoon, because if it's all sunny and the trees look awesome, and if I'm laying out a blanket, and especially if I'm reading an adventure story, like if you were reading The Lord of the Rings out there, it would seem like the trees are dancing.
Right.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it's nice to be out in the woods or outside when you're reading a good adventure story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's perfect. And of course our cat, who thinks she's a sheepdog, is always out there watching out for you. And Temperance loves to, well, if you're already in the woods outside, you can take a break and shoot your bow and arrow to your
right. Pretend to be Legolas.
There you go. Now, thank you again for coming on to record this with me. I always love talking books with you.
I do too.
Good. But I wanted to do this as a reminder to all of you homeschooling parents and teachers out there, just to remember that, to remember the life that we're trying to not only cultivate ourselves, but to cultivate in our own children. And I'm really proud of Temperance and all the time that she spends reading books and feeding her imagination. And I love that. And let it be a reminder as well that sometimes the habits that we want to cultivate in our children, they can help cultivate back in us. She's been a good example to me. So for all of you out there, find that favorite place to read, find that time to read, and make a list, just like Temperance is doing already. She's being a very good example for her dad and for all of us. And maybe even for your own kids, you've found some recommendations from what she's mentioned, and even some thoughts on how to be a better reader. So hope you enjoyed this time. Temperance, again, thanks. You'll have to come on again sometime.
Oh, good idea.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's all for now. I'm your host, Brian Phillips. Keep up the good work, everyone. We'll talk to you again soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.